When you got saved, we were ready to obey. I'm going to follow Jesus. But we get in the muck and mire of sin, and we get in the muck and mire of circumstances, and our resolution to obey the Lord can wane. I'm not talking about a legalistic resolution of works, but a faith that works.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a note from William in Wisconsin. He writes, "Thank you for your teaching and the resources you provide. To God be the glory, William." Amen, William. To God be the glory. And thank you so much for your appreciation. It is so wonderful to hear how God is using his word. So we praise the Lord and thank him for your encouragement.
And Greg, on today's broadcast, we'll begin a three-part look at how we can know if we have truly repented.
Yes, Dave, and that look starts in Nehemiah chapter 10. And although we're going to see a bunch of names, which I'll inevitably mess up, but if we hang in there, I believe we will be greatly rewarded with a truly blessed passage. So turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, the Christian life is one of failure and forgiveness. Failure and forgiveness, right? But it should be less failure, more forgiveness, right? We should be growing, but yet as we grow, we realize really how sinful we are. And there's other areas that the Lord has to work on. And he is sanctifying us. He is changing us. And just because we do fail, that's not a justification for failing. The Lord desires that we are holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, "You should be holy, for I am holy." That's his desire, that we are set apart from sin. And he is relentless as a good parent to work on us to set us apart from sin. And that's what we call sanctification. And that's what God is doing in our lives. Now, if you're a real believer, you're going to be broken up over your sin. You're going to hate it. You're going to hate it when you fail. You're going to, "I can't stand when I fail." And you're going to be confessing and begging the Lord to help change you and to make you different. I think we've all been in those situations where there may be something in our lives where we're just not changing. We're begging God. We're praying. We're going to bed. "Lord, change me." But I think one of the things we're going to see today is that part of the process of change is something that God calls us to do, which is to obey his word. Let's turn in our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 10, and we're going to see how we can know if we have truly repented. We're going to see and look at the fruit that we should have as we look at this group of Jews who knew the Lord their God, who God had worked on. Now we know the first part of Nehemiah is about the rebuilding of the walls and the gates that were burned down, a physical rebuilding. And there were certainly spiritual trials within that, and there was opposition. And we saw how Nehemiah stood firm against that opposition, trusting the Lord. And they were with one hand their swords, with the other hand their trowels. They were about God's work. And the wall was completed in 52 days. And then the book moves from that to where we see God is working on the lives of these Jews, rebuilding the spiritual walls and the gates and the doors that were broken down. Indeed, we saw that in chapter 7, Nehemiah alludes to the fact that there was no one in Jerusalem, very few and very few houses, and that there needed to be the people there, but they weren't. And he goes on to share a genealogy, but it moves in chapters 8 through 10 to really the repentance of these Jews and the restoration of them in their relationship with the Lord. Indeed, we saw that begins with them desiring to hear the word of God. And they weren't desiring to have their ears tickled. They could have called someone else to come over, but they called for Ezra, a man who had set his heart to study the word of God and to do it and to teach it. We're going to see, we need to set our hearts to do it. See, one of the biggest problems we have is we are not resolute in our desire to obey God's word. And we're going to see today that they were. You know, when you got saved, we were ready to obey. I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. But we get in the muck and mire of sin, and we get in the muck and mire of circumstances, and our resolution to obey the Lord can wane. Now, I'm not talking about a legalistic resolution of works, but a faith that works, a faith in Jesus Christ, those abiding in him. So we saw in chapter 8 that they desired the word. They desired to hear it, and it was brought to them, and they were attentive, and they were listening to it. And we saw the Levites explained it to them, that they would have knowledge and understand, and they were broken up, and they responded, addressing some of the sin that they had already in going and doing the Feast of Booths and that such. And they were broken up, but then they rejoiced, because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And then we saw that they continued with that desire to obey. And then we saw that the word was brought to them again, and they were listening, they were responding. And we're going to see in our passage today, after having looked at chapter 9, that they were fully repentant, that they were desiring to do the right thing, and they responded in the right way. And we can learn from that today. So we're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 10. We'll refer back to chapter 9 in a moment, but let's read our passage together. Now, there's a lot of names here. There's actually 84 names. I'm going to read it the first time, but I'm not going to read it the second time. So I'm probably going to mess them up, but we'll get close enough here. Now, on the sealed document were the names of Nehemiah the governor. We know who he is. The son of Hakaliah and Zedekiah, Sarekiah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Malchiah, Hattush, Shebaniah, Maluk, Harim, Mermoth, Obadiah, Daniel. Now, those aren't the same names from the other places, by the way. These are guys that were Jews that had, you know, you can know someone whose name is John, and that doesn't mean he's John Kennedy, right? John F. Kennedy. Different person, but same name. Okay. Ginnathon, Baruch, Meshulam, Abijah, Majamin, Ma'azariah, Bilgal, Shemaiah. These were the priests and the Levites. Yeshua, the son of Azaniah, Benui, the son of Henadad, Kadmiel, also their brothers, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kalita, Peliah, Hanan, Micah, Rohab, Hashabiah, Zakur, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Bani, Benui. These are all good names if you're pregnant and want to name your kid. Here we go. A list for you. And the leaders of the people, Parush, Hath, Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Azgad, Bebai, Adonijah, Bigvai, Adin, Atur, Hezekiah, Azur, Hodiah, Hashum, Beziah, Harib, Anath, Nabai, Mag, Hayash, Meshulam, Hazur, Meshezabel, Zedak, Jadua, Petatiah, Hanan, Ananiah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Hashub, Halahesh, Pilha, Shobek, Rehum, Hashabna, Manasiah, Ahiah, Hanan, Anan, Maluk, Harim, Ba'ana. Now, there we go, okay? That's a big list of people, right? And, you know, we're going to get to this later, but why the list of the names? Why does God put all this in his word? And I think it's important to realize that this is a real deal. These are real people, just like you and I. They are actually, as we will see, putting their names in a document saying, we're going to obey the Lord. They're putting it in writing. And so God is revealing who these people are that are putting their names down. And then notice it says, now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all those who had knowledge and understanding, are joining with their kinsmen, their nobles, and are taking on themselves a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given through Moses, God's servant, and to keep and to observe all the commandments of God, our Lord, and his ordinances and his statutes, and that we will not give our daughters to the peoples of the land, or take their daughters for our sons. As for the peoples of the land who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or a holy day. We will forgo the crops of the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Now you can keep reading, and we're going to see there's two other areas that are specific. So first of all, I say we're going to obey God's word. It's the structure. We're writing it down. Also, we're going to address these specific areas which we failed in. And there are four. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to obey you, Lord, I'm going to obey your words. Another thing to say, I'm going to obey you and not get angry at my wife or my husband. You know, I'm going to use one thing to say, I'm going to obey you. It's another thing to get specific. And they get specific here. And there are four areas, two of them which we'll look at today and two of them which we'll look at next week, Lord willing. So you can keep reading, and later on, this third area, which I'm not reading about, has to do with giving to the service of the temple. And basically, they say, we won't neglect it anymore. And then the fourth area is the willingness to live wherever the Lord wants you to live, where they took lots to live in Jerusalem, to move there from their other places. Okay, so we're going to see those specific areas that they weren't willing in before, that they had sinned in before, that they're saying, now we're going to do it. So here, again, if you've been with us through Nehemiah, we've seen the spiritual rebuilding of the people. Their response to the word of God, as we saw in chapter 9, their full acknowledgement of how they got there, why God's disciplinary hand was on them, a full accounting. Our father's sin brought it to this point and we're part of it. A full accounting. They were repentant. And at the end of chapter 9, notice it says in verse 38, now because of all this, that's all the stuff and all the sin that they had and all the difficulty they had encountered because of their sin. So of all this, we are making an agreement in writing, and on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. And that's the list that I just read. So they make an agreement. They're saying, hey, here is an agreement to walk in God's word, as we'll see, to obey his word. And then, very specifically, to address specific areas of disobedience. You know, we look at all kinds of different areas. You know, well, you know, maybe someone doesn't do things the way you like or whatever it might be, and we say this or that. These are specific sins that God's word directs and addresses. And in that, this is what they are addressing. This is what they are responding to. So because of our sin and the sin of our fathers, yet in light of your forgiveness and compassion and grace and your promises, we're going to make an agreement in writing. And that is our passage. And first of all, we see there is the commitment by the leaders to obey God's word. And they put their names down. They put their names on this, okay? So we have Nehemiah, the governor. I'm not going to read the names again. There were the priests, end of verse 7. There were the Levites, verse 9. Verse 14, the leaders of the people. These are all the leaders are saying, we're going to put our names down. We're going to say, we're going to do this. And so we have 84 people in the list headed by Nehemiah. And notice the rest of the people join in too. The rest join in. Verse 28, now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, and all who had knowledge and understanding, those who responded. Remember, they understood the word of God. Remember, they got the knowledge that was made known to them by the Levites, the word, and they had knowledge. They got it. They understood it. They got it. It says here, are joining with their kinsmen, their nobles, and taking on themselves a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given through Moses, God's servant, and to keep and observe all the commandments of God, our Lord, and his ordinances and his statutes. So we have the rest of the people, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who had separated themselves, and all who could understand, right, and had understanding and knowledge. And they are joining with those who made this list, this covenant that they made, joining with them. We're joining too. And we're joining, taking on themselves a curse and an oath. Okay, whoa, curse. Well, the curse probably, you know, Israel had already agreed, by the way, as a nation, to obey the word, to obey the law. had already agreed. And then when that agreement, they said, we'll do this. We'll accept the curses and the blessings. Blessings if we obey, cursings if we disobey. And I believe this is a reacceptance of those curses. We accept the consequences of disobedience, like we see in Deuteronomy chapter 28 through 30. And so, and then he says they're taking on an oath. An oath is an agreement to do something. An oath, an agreement. It's a solemn testifying of one's willingness and desire, and thus saying one will do something in that sense. So they're joining, and they're joining. And what is that oath and the curse? To do what? Two things. First of all, middle of verse 29, to walk in God's law. That means to live in it. To walk means the way you live. It's not just I'm going to obey this little thing here and there. I want to, desire to walk in God's word. I want to walk in his word. I want to obey his word, which was given through Moses. That's the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They're specifically here. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And through Moses, given by God, it's God's law, through Moses. Moses brought it forth, right? God's servant. Isn't that great? Moses, a good guy. He suffered a lot. He made some mistakes, but he was a good guy. He was the most humble man, we see. And he experienced a lot of difficulty with the Israelites, but he was God's servant. And we're making a commitment to live a lifestyle of obedience to God's word. That's the first thing. You know, we do that when we are saved. We make that commitment. I'm going to obey you, Lord. I want to walk in your ways. I want to follow you. I want to follow Jesus. We make that commitment, right? And so they're recommitting themselves, in a sense, to keep, to observe. Notice the second thing. End of verse 29, and so you have to walk in God's law, and then, and to keep and to observe. Those are two parallel statements which mean obey. To walk in his law and to keep and obey. Notice what he says here. Keep and observe all the commandments. Not a few of them. We're not going to select a few that we like and throw the other ones aside. If we've been humbled by our sin, we're ready to follow the Lord with no conditions. It's not like, you know, I'm going to obey you here and here, but, it is a willingness to obey him all the way. They're all in. They're willing to do so. And that is a fruit of genuine repentance. There's no conditions. We'll obey you, Lord, if you will do this or do that. We'll obey you if this happens or that. And there's no conditions at all. Heart has been humbled, and they just said, we're going to obey. No conditions. And by the way, this is personal. I mentioned this the last few things. We might be tempted to point at other people. Are they obeying? Are they fully repentant in what's going on in their life? Are they fully repentant? Are you fully repentant? This is about us. This is directed at us. And it's interesting, you know, when I preach and teach, you know, I'm not perfect. I fail, you know, but what I'm sharing is absolutely true. It doesn't mean I live up to it perfectly, but I desire to, and I hope you do too. It's God's perfect word, and we should, as we will see, have a desire and a commitment to obey God. And I think we're going to see the reason why we don't get out of the doldrums of sin is because we never really fully commit to actually stepping out and obeying. We confess it, but we never say, okay, I'm actually not going to do it anymore. I'm going to step out and not do it. Now, there's a gray area there. It's not works, but we're going to see it is, as we see in the song, which we'll sing later on, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, okay? So we can learn from this greatly. So here we have this commitment. And notice he says, this is personal. It is the word of our God, our Lord. We're going to see later on that it's all about our Lord, our God, our Lord, our God, in the third thing about the temple. It's all about our God. This is personal. We have a relationship with the living God. We have sinned against him, but we have repented, and we're going to walk in your ways. We're going to walk in his ways, the statutes of our God, his statutes, his ordinances, to keep those, and all the commandments of our God. Not a select few, but all. There's no picking and choosing which ones work best for my life. It's a humility and an understanding of a compassionate, gracious God who everything he says we should do is actually good for us. Everything he says. And when we don't do it, it's actually bad for us. We know that, right? Now, at this point, if you're truly repentant, you're going to step out, I believe, as we'll see, and obey. Now you're going to be committed to it. Now we do fail. We're going to see later on that some of them fail in chapter 13. And Nehemiah gets hot and he addresses it, okay? We will fail, but there needs to be a wholehearted desire, yes, I'm going to obey. And that needs to move in the context of faith and God's empowerment to actually obey him. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How can we have a commitment to step out? How can we say, I'm going to obey the Lord? It's kind of scary. I'm going to obey you. We know we fail, right? We don't want to take an oath. Lord, I take an oath to obey you and to say, and then we know we're going to fail, right? Well, let's take a look at some passages that will help us with this. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord himself is addressing the churches, and he is addressing their sin and the things they do right. Some do right. There's only one that didn't have a problem. There's others that have all problems, and there's some that have problems and some that have good things. The church at Ephesus had some good things they were doing, and they had some bad things. And he's going to tell them what they need to do. And he's going to show us through this that repentance not only is a change of mind, but it is actually going and doing something. Revelation 2, verse 1. To the angel or the messenger of the church of Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. That's the Lord. I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance. You cannot endure evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Now, these Ephesians, they listened to Paul. Paul gave his last words, watch out. You know, elder, shepherd the flock, bad guys are coming. And they did. They were watching out for him and they were addressing it. And they were obedient and they were persevering in difficulty. But there was an area of sin that needed to be addressed. And notice what he says, but I have this against you, that you left your first love. Well, our first love is Jesus, and from that first love is a love for one another, you see? And evidently, the Ephesians, when they came to faith, as we see in the book of Ephesians, they loved one another. But that love had waned. Their love for Christ, I believe, they left it. They didn't leave it behind. They walked away from it. And so notice what he says here. He says here, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. That's identify the sin. And repent, and then notice what he says, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming back. He doesn't just say repent and stay the same. He says repent and do what you did at first. Repent, step out, and love one another. Love me. How do we know we love God? By obeying his word and loving his people, right? Okay? He says, so do it.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we've begun to see something very important and very practical.
Yes, we did, Dave. And we've begun to see that we need to put off what is wrong and by faith put on what is right. And we can only do that in Christ if we trust him with a changed mind, acting upon his word by his strength. So don't let sin control you. Turn to Christ and offer yourself in obedience, whether it's worry or anger or fear or lust. Folks, if you're not committed to stopping in Christ, you're not going to stop. So then, do you have an area of sin that is overwhelming you? You've been praying over and over about it. You just haven't had victory. May I posit to you that you just need to step out in faith and stop saying no to those sinful desires and walk away by the power of the Holy Spirit the Word directing your path? You see, we need to realize, like Paul says in Romans chapter 6, that we are actually dead to sin because of our relationship with Christ, and thus we can offer ourselves to God by faith instead of sin.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.